This is Jason Day calling in.
Jason Day, ladies and gentlemen, calling in from Brooklyn, New York.
That's right. Not Jason Day, the fine professional golfer. Unfortunately, you just got Jason Gay, the lame columnist for the Wall Street Journal.
I apologize. Jason Gay. How could I get that confused?
No. You know what? My master scores are not as good as his.
Wall Street Journal doesn't have sports, does it?
It does. Believe it or not, we do. We have a sports page that runs every day in the Wall Street Journal. I'm just assuming your copy is getting lost in the mail if you're not familiar with our tremendous award-winning sports coverage.
I've got to resubmit to the Wall Street Journal.
Listen, if you call me, I will read it to you over the phone every morning.
Beautiful.
Right? It's worth your while, I promise you.
So what are you covering at the Wall Street Journal?
Well, we have a sports page, and I'm the sports columnist, so I'm the guy who's supposed to get upset about everything.
Okay. What have you been upset about lately, Jason?
Well, you know, like everybody in the sports world, we've spent the last couple of days trying to assess just the impact of Muhammad Ali. I'm sure it's something that, you know, you and your listeners have been thinking about, too. And, you know, I was not privileged to be around for the peak of Ali's fighting career, but certainly it's just you assess the guy's life, and I don't think we're ever going to see a figure in the world of sports, and maybe even in sort of any sort of celebrity quite like him in terms of his impact and global reach.
I don't think so around the world.
Yeah.
Icon, true icon.
Yeah.
People like to throw that around, icon. Ali was known everywhere.
That's so true. You know, these guys, you know, you raise an excellent point that all these words have been so neutered over the years, you know, icon and legend and, you know, a hero. I hate hearing the term hero ascribed to athletes. You know, remember we swore we weren't going to do that after 9/11 and we were going to use hero in the most proper way it should be used for the people who actually deserve it. We just neuter these terms by using them too much in sports, but you know, Ali quite literally does fall into that iconic category. I don't think it's at all improper to, you know, put him in that category.
And what an amazing career that had so many peaks and valleys.
Oh, absolutely. No question about it. You know, he had, you know, of course, at the top of his professional fighting career, walking away from it all because of an extremely controversial decision not to accept induction into the military. You know, a decision that, you know, still is contentious for a number of Americans. You know, walking away from the peak of the sport. He was the heavyweight champion of the world at that mm-hmm. moment. You know, had his ups and downs in the rings, of course. He had to, you know, some good fights, some bad fights. But it really was that sort of moment in time when you think of all the things that were happening in this country, with the war, with civil rights, with the sort of dynamic period that his career paralleled, it was a recipe for, you know, an extraordinary life.
So, Jason, most people get the Wall Street Journal because they think it's going to help them make some more money, don't they?
That's right. That's right.
So if they're if they're looking at sports, you probably have to take a little more. Do you take a financial look at some of these stories?
We do. No, for sure. You know, we're not the people that you go to build your fantasy football team with. We're taking a little bit of a long view at the journal, maybe a little bit unconventional if you're used to getting your sports, you know, coverage from, I don't know, the likes of, you know, the internet and so on. We are, you know, looking at the business, the television, the economy, all the stuff that surrounds these games, which I feel the average sports fan is more and more interested in because it all pertains to us. I mean, you look at the way that athletes are getting paid, the value of franchises, a great deal of that, as we all know, is television and the role of TV and what these contracts are bringing in to franchises and trickling down to individual athletes. So we're all kind of part of this business thing. And so we found that it's a story that our readers care about, and even readers who aren't necessarily financially inclined care about as well.
Yeah, I think they are because of the absurdity. I just heard somebody the other day, I think it was, who was that? I think it was John Heyman, said that Bryce Harper's looking at a $700 million contract. That's insanity.
That's amazing. That's amazing. I heard half a billion attached to his name, and that seemed extreme, but 700 million. You know, there are going to be some radical changes, I believe, in our lifetimes, and maybe even in the next 5 to 10 years, because as we both know, the way that people are watching these games, consuming these games, is changing tremendously. You know, the idea of people are going to pay $140, $160 to get cable television every month. I mean, more and more people are cutting that cord, and that's been really kind of a money pipeline to these sports for a long time. And does that mean that some of these salaries are going to start come crashing down, the values of some of these franchises are going to start to crumble? I think that's definitely possible.
But if you're a baseball fan, Jason, you will, or a hockey fan or NBA or whatever, you'll gladly pay that $250 a season or whatever the package is, because if you go to a game, it's going to cost you $500.
Well, that's absolutely true, and the fans are going to be the people who are going to be anteing up. But, you know, the dirty little secret of sports television is that sports television for a very, very long time, in fact, its entire history, has been subsidized not by the people who watch all the games, not by the people who are obsessed about sports, but by the many, 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 many cable subscribers who are still paying these carry fees even if they don't watch an inning of one baseball game.
Exactly. Yeah.
They're paying for it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so what changes the economic model? So you come along, okay, and these teams are saying, okay, well, in order to make as much money as we did in 2016, we're going to have to divvy it up among the people who will pay. Well, it's not going to be 4 cents a game, I assure you. It's going to be something substantial. And I do think that we are due for some kind of correction in terms of the economic model. I mean, the Bryce Harpers of the world aren't getting $700 or $500 million or any kind of like $100 million package strictly on the basis of tickets sold. It's really a TV economy.
Yeah, it's a head scratcher, really. I mean, we talk about Justin Upton here in Detroit that signed for $135 million, and he's hitting about $190, and you wonder what the hell's going on here.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and what's funny is that we all remember, you know, years ago, the first salary, the first time we heard one of these packages, we just said, I just cannot believe this. You know, I remember for myself hearing, I guess it was 20 so odd years ago, when Kirby Puckett got $3 million. I think he was the first $3 million a year player. And I just thought that was out the door. And now,
yeah,
you know, you're a utility second baseman who's playing every other week. You're getting $3 million a year. It's just, you know, fans are so used to it.
The bat boy's getting $1 million. It's crazy. So what's your big sport, Jason? Baseball?
I definitely love football, and I also do love baseball. I grew up around baseball. You know, I grew up in New England as a Red Sox fan. Please do not hold this against me. I know we have a little bit of Detroit DNA in that front office now. But the Red Sox that I was familiar with were heartbreakers. They crushed my heart every September and October. So this whole outfit that goes out and competes and wins championships every so often, I don't recognize that town. That doesn't have any semblance of the place that I grew up in, where the Red Sox were just, they took your guts out and stomped them.
So are you a Tom Brady fan?
Yeah, I am. You know, I mean, you can't be from New England. I think my mother would stop inviting me home for Thanksgiving if I disavowed Tom Brady. You know, there are aspects of the whole Deflategate thing which I still raise an eyebrow to, but I don't think anyone at this point disputes the fact that this thing dragging on and on through the appeals court system, potentially the Supreme Court, is so absurd. I mean, it just, there are much bigger priorities for football in terms of health and safety than, you know, running this thing into a $20 million Supreme Court lawsuit.
So if I pick up the Wall Street Journal tomorrow, will you be in there? Are you writing one once a week, or how does that work?
I'm in there at least a couple times a week. My days are Monday and Thursday.
Okay.
And so I'll be writing tomorrow for Thursday. And then, you know, as news breaks, we have stuff, you know, so you might see me a couple more times a week. But just to let your listeners know that, you know, my book is out, Little Victories.
Yeah. I'm going to mention that. Yeah. We're going to mention that. But East Coast bias, is that fair with the Wall Street Journal?
Sure.
Okay.
We, you know, and we hear about it. You know, there are probably a few too many Yankee articles in there, probably a few too many New York Giants articles in there.
Not many Minnesota.
Every time we go out and write about somebody else, we hear, thank you for going out beyond your comfort zone of the East Coast.
Not much Cleveland Indians stuff, probably?
No, you know, not that much Cleveland Indians coverage, I'm ashamed to say.
Well, you've written a book. It's called About Little Victories. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so it's a, you know, it's a humor book, to be 100% candid. It's a book that came out of these Thanksgiving touch football rules that we wrote in the Wall Street Journal every holiday season. And, you know, it's a guide to life for people who hate life guides, advice for people who can't take any advice. And it goes from the, you know, the family to parenthood to marriage and love and children and holidays and office life, travel, all this stuff that, you know, feels rather everyday and mundane and sort of a goofy rule book to surviving those everyday annoyances and trying to get through a few little victories.
Well, help me out. If you don't like an advice book, why would you pick this up?
Because this one takes everything you don't like about an advice book, which I'm going to assume is that kind of voice of perfection that just kind of makes you feel like, you know, you can't possibly relate. You know, I'm your buddy, man. You know, I'm the person who's riding shotgun with you, who makes 20 mistakes before he wakes up in the morning, you know, and I lead a very imperfect life. And so Little Victories is all about celebrating those smaller things and just not trying to achieve the unachievable perfection.
I think in the book you talk about Little League coaches, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, as a sports writer, the funniest thing is that you can write about, you know, World Series, NBA Finals, the Olympics, all you want. People, you know, they'll thank you for it. But no topic gets people riled up like kids in sports. Yeah. We have just gone off the edge, I feel, in this country in terms of the intensity with which we go crazy about kids and sports.
Oh,
and it seems like not a day goes by.
There's no
doubt.
You don't
see an article in the newspaper about two parents leg wrestling each other outside a Little League game or a hockey rink or something like that.
Oh.
It's just crazy.
Yeah, it's pretty insane. What's your advice?
Well, my advice is, you know, I don't know what your childhood was like, but I think we could all benefit by taking it down a notch. I mean, you know, when I was younger, kids didn't specialize. They certainly weren't playing baseball 12 months out of the year. Their parents weren't, you know, sending them off to camps when they were 8 years old. You know, I think there's nothing wrong with playing 3-4 sports a season, a year, rather.
Sure.
You know, taking some time off. You know, the thing is, and you know this too, that, you know, if you get the chance to spend some time around professional athletes, a great many of them didn't pick up the sport that they ended up doing for a living until rather late in life. They did other things, you know, and maybe they developed a different kind of physical skill set because they played soccer or they played something totally separate from what they ended up doing.
Yeah, personal trainer for the 7-year-old.
And, you know, the other thing is that it's just also, it's bad for your health. All the orthopedics now are, they're 100% on this. The idea of sending your kid and making them do one thing over and over and over, the repetitive stress on their body is just not worth it whatsoever. And that's why a lot of them think that you're seeing these guys coming into the major leagues and they're having rotator cuff surgery, not at 34, not at 35, but at 22, 23 years old.
So how's your book doing?
Oh, man, you know, it's just parked right up there on the top of the list, right above Da Vinci Code. Now, it's been doing rather well, and we've been having a really good time talking about it and traveling around and getting to meet sports fans all over the country. And, you know, the gratifying thing about doing a book is just being able to sort of put a face to readers out there and have personal connection with them. And I've been very lucky to work for a paper like the Journal where the readers obviously care about it. So, yeah, it's been really great.
So do you have a website, Jason?
I do. Yeah, it's www.jason-gay.com, and there's information about where to get the book, how to get the book, but you know how to get the book. Any bookstore, any website, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, they all have it.
Google it.
Google it, absolutely.
You got it. So what am I going to, if I pick up the Wall Street Journal Thursday, what am I going to look forward to?
You know what? I hate being this person because I'm never this person. I'm always the person who's going to tell you straight up, But I actually feel I have this little bit of a scoop. There's a story that I'm working on that involves, you know, some sports business and some interesting stuff behind the scenes that's happening that I can't talk about yet. But let's just
come on now.
What?
You can't leave us with that.
Oh,
give me a.
Okay. It involves the fight game. Okay.
Okay.
I can't get any more specific than that. Maybe some irregularities happening within the fight game. How's that?
Not that kickboxing stuff.
Oh, the kickboxing? No, I haven't watched kickboxing in ages.
Or whatever that is.
Oh, Ultimate Fighting.
Something like that, yeah.
Okay.
Hey, good luck
That's
with the work, man.
Well, I really appreciate that. Thank you so much for spending some time with me.
Come on anytime. Jason
appreciate
Gay,
it.
Wall Street Journal, Monday and Thursday.